They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and I think it's finally spring here in the nation's capital. It's gorgeous weather. The sun's out. But you know what? We've got someone even hotter than the weather in Virginia. We've got Jan Bergman on. Jan is in Florida. He's the president and an amazing man who has started the Cyber Citizens for Justice with his weekly updates, his weekly newsletters. He is the most consistent and hardworking person I've ever met. Jan, thank you so much for putting aside some time to join us on the Commons today.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words, Sue.
Well, it's not kind because every week I get your newsletter, and I always look through there, and I always look to see what's going on. And there's lots of stuff going on in Florida, and today we're going to get caught up a little bit on what's going on, what you're doing, and all of the issues that have been sort of grabbing the headlines.
Well, there are lots of headlines, and there are lots of issues here in Florida, as you well know. And it's not getting better, it's getting worse, actually. You know, more and more the media realizes what problems we have in these community associations, from embezzlement, straightforward crime, from greedy investors taking families' homes away, and from legislation that doesn't work. We have it all, and the media is reporting about it. That's why I can put out weekly newsletters, because there's always lots to report.
There is always lots to report, and I think one of the disgraceful conditions in this country, and I think it's really, really bad, is the way that our housing is constructed. Because last week we talked about a really sad situation in Pennsylvania, Hidden Valley, where the houses and the condos are inhabitable. They're all moldy. They're full of holes. But you know what? Along comes your newsletter, and I click on some of the stuff, and there's some stories. The same thing is happening in Florida.
Well, and don't forget, what you see in the media is only the icing on the cake. There are much worse cases around, but the media doesn't want to report about it because the media here in this country is afraid that somebody is suing them.
So we just cover everything up, huh?
Yeah, right. Well, they cover what they can officially cover, and where they have proof from police files and things like that. Anything else they don't want to touch. You know, and we see so many cases of so many outrageous things. They tone it down. You know, funny enough, most articles don't mention the attorney's name who is really behind this whole stuff, you know, because they're afraid of attorneys. That's just the way it works here. And if you see what is really happening, it is plainly disgusting. You know, remember 2 years ago, our Florida legislator created a bill that more or less takes away any kind of warranty liability from developers.
What was that bill? You want to tell us about that bill?
Well, the bill more or less said if a developer creates drainage and irrigation and, roads and things like that, and they're not up to par, the homeowners association later on has no regress to go after them.
Oh, really?
Oh, really, yes.
And
welcome to Florida.
And so, you had a number of stories on your website, and right on that particular topic, you had one that's called the title is Condo Owners, It's Victory versus Builder or Foreclosure. And can we talk about that a little bit? Can we talk about that particular?
Yeah, sure. We can talk about that particular case, and it's another outrageous case, and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, this is a condominium that's sort of mostly retirees. It's middle of the road, not people who have a whole lot of money.
Well, yeah, they consider this a middle-class condominium, not the high top level of $1 million and not the low cost, below 100. But no matter what you pay, you should get a quality that allows you to live there without crumbling walls, without crumbling balconies, especially if the place is 40 years old, I would understand it, but not if it's 2 years old.
But why should something that's 40 years old be crumbling?
Well, because lack of maintenance.
How about construction? I mean, one of the things that really ticks me off, Jan, is that when you're in a municipality, whether it's a city, a township, a county like we are here, anytime you do anything to your house, even if you get a new water heater and replace a dead one, you have to go and get a permit.
Yes, and they're getting more and more expensive, these permits. And that's how they make money, because they claim we don't raise taxes, but they raise the cost for permits and create permits for every little thing. And that is how they make their extra money. And then they say, yeah, there is an inspector, but if you're a contractor or developer and you have, let's politely say, a good relationship with the inspector signs off without even looking at it.
Yeah, and the thing is, where are the inspectors? Why are these things passing? Why are they giving the residency, the occupancy permits, when you've got things that are as badly built as some of these condominiums? I mean, that just boggles the mind. And as I said last week, it's a failure of government.
Well, in my opinion, it's a system of kickbacks.
That's a failure, Jan. That's a big failure. When you can only get things done by kickbacks, then that doesn't work.
The further you go down south in Florida, the more kickbacks are daily occurrences.
It's more common down there, huh? The
yep.
Further down you go. Well, in this case, they're suing, but the thing they're saying is we're either going to get the money and get the developer to repair this, or we're going to go with special assessments, and the special assessments are going to mean that a lot of the people are going to lose their homes.
Right. And most likely they will not get the money together to pay for the repairs, because the problems are so big in this case that the special assessments would go in the ten thousands of dollars, and that is money these people don't have.
That's per person.
Yeah, per unit. Yeah,
per unit. Yes.
When we're not talking, for $10,000, most contractors wouldn't even come out to look at your place.
Yeah.
So that means most people wouldn't pay because they just plainly don't have the money. Not because of ill will or something like that. The money isn't there. And so the association wouldn't get together the necessary funds to pay for the repair and that would be the end of this condominium building.
So it says in the article that they're looking for $40 million in damages. If let's say best case scenario, they go to court and they win the $40 million, what happens is that the developer or the attorney is going to get half of it, right?
Well,
and that
you don't forget one thing: these developers are all LLCs. So even if you win, and they would, let's say they win a $40 million verdict, well, that is on paper. That doesn't mean they have the money in hand. Because I'm pretty sure that a developer with a $40 million lawsuit or ruling against him will quickly declare bankruptcy, and since these LLCs have no any collateral or whatever, there's nothing there you can get the money from.
So I said, let's say best case scenario, let's say they win it, and let's say that, you know, insurance companies are going to kick in, whatever. That doesn't mean that the homeowners or the condominium is going to get that $40 million, because now you're getting the attorney who's going to come in and who's going to take half of that.
Well, yeah, well, 40%, yeah.
And the rest of it, then you're going to still end up with special assessments to cover the rest of it. I mean, how many times have we seen this happen, where the attorneys come in, get half of it, and the association is still left without adequate funds to make repairs on building that was just so shoddily put together?
Well, see, this is just one case out of many.
Yes, I know.
We have seen it over the years many, many, many times.
Yes.
You know, we had communities with townhomes where after 6 months of existence, the balconies fell down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we have people who from they moved in and it rained in their ceiling.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
but they had the occupancy license from the building department and everything, so that was all fine and dandy, according to the building department. You know, and then comes the developer or contractor and says, you know, we don't understand it because remember the inspector signed off, everything was hanky dory. That's the way it works. And once in a while, they grab a few inspectors, they fire them. Mostly, they send them into early retirement so they get all their money, you know, and the people are sitting there holding the bag. People who relied on the government to do the right thing and inspect these buildings for proper construction.
And that's, we go back to the fact that it's government's failure. The government is failing people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It, big time.
But again, here's the other thing, Ian. In this particular article, we're talking to Jackie Durham, who's the president of this condominium, and she says that she bought her unit for $375,340. It is now being assessed for the taxes at $159,500. So what happened to CAI's promise that an HOA is going to protect your property values? It seems to me she's lost over half of her property values.
Okay, the Brothers Grimm told more facts than the CAI ever will. You know my opinion about that.
I know. But I need to get it on the air. I know your opinion. It's the same
right.
as mine. But we need to get that out there, Jan. Let's go.
You know, you always hear, yeah, they increase your property values. Let's make one thing very clear. When here in Florida, the property values just fell down to the basement. Funny enough, the places inside the communities lost faster value than the ones outside. You know why? Because now suddenly the people who still lived there had to pay for all the others who didn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you have to pay three times a TV bill because your two neighbors watch TV but don't pay their bill, and you pay three times more or less for yourself and your two neighbors, you know, who wants to buy such a place?
So why do we have these ridiculous rules whereby the association decides who your internet provider is going to be and charges you for it, whether or not you have cable and charges you for it? Why aren't people allowed to pick their own services, the ones that they want, and not be liable to pay for stuff that either they don't use or they're going to be paying for their neighbor's use because their neighbors are not going to pay for it?
You remember the famous word here in Florida, kickbacks? If every owner would be allowed to pick his own cable provider or TV or internet provider, there wouldn't be any kickbacks. You know, the kickbacks only come when somebody comes and says to, let's say, Comcast or one of the big providers, hey, look, I have an association with 500 homes, you know. I signed the contract for you. You get this for 10 years, you know. How much are you paying? And they pay well, believe me. Because sometimes some honest boards put the money in the account of the association. Some others don't.
So there's so many little moving bits, aren't there, Jan?
Yeah, sure. I mean, come on. I mean, that starts with simple contractors. You know, we had a few months back, there were ads in the newspapers addressing the community association managers. If you get us a contract for road paving or whatever, we'll pay you a finder's fee of 5%.
Oh, really?
That is a clear advertising to pay kickbacks, period.
Okay, wait a minute. These were ads that were in the local papers?
No, they were in the community association news magazines.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Yes. They're pretty brazen about it. Don't forget that, because they know nothing will happen. You know, I just read an article about a cam firm in Ocala. You know, they could prove that the cams fiddled around with money, protected a developer who did all kinds of nasty things, and everything. You know, the DBPR came and said, well, we found a settlement. They pay us a $2,000 fine plus cost, you know, but they don't admit any guilt, right? Okay. That was against the will of the owners who filed the complaint. Now here comes the state attorney and says, but the DBPR already punished these people, you know, so that is nothing we can touch. You know, and we're talking about serious money here. You know, that is the way it works, and that is the way why they get along doing it all the time. You know, they know nothing will happen. You know, I once was involved in a case where a cam embezzled $5,000. It was proven, no argument, she did it, right? After pushing and shoving and a year and 4 months passing by, I finally called the DBPR, and guess what I was told? What do you expect us to do? You know,
You're kidding.
Just take her livelihood away. You know, and she is not working for that association anymore because they fired her, naturally, right? I said, no, but now she's working for another
community. And then doing the same thing.
And you, allowing her to keep the license, allow her to steal again. That's what it is.
And what did they say to that? I mean, that's unbelievable, Jan.
Well, they didn't like to hear it. But they do nothing. You know, how can come that in this case, a $2,000 fine and cost without admitting guilt is absolutely ridiculous, you know, for a licensing agency who who's supposed to watch over the licenses.
So this is, yeah, this is the organization or this is the agency in Florida that's supposed to be protecting the consumers, right?
Yes.
And they say we can't do this and we have to allow, and if we take her license away from her, then she's just going to not be able to work.
You're right. She shouldn't.
You know, I had the same issue come up many, many years ago when we had a discrimination case in Virginia. And there's something in the fair housing laws that says that, you know, you can file a complaint, and while the complaint is being filed or while the complaint is being investigated, that no one can get involved. And if they do, there's a fine involved, okay? So in this case, the attorney convinced the county to drop it, said, you don't have jurisdiction over here, which was nothing more than a bunch of BS, because they clearly had jurisdiction over there. But before the county had officially dropped the case, this attorney sent the homeowners some letters. So I said, aha, we will file a complaint against that. What they did was they said, oh, we never sanction attorneys because they might lose their license. Gee whiz, wouldn't that be terrible?
Yeah,
wouldn't that be terrible? Who the hell are they protecting?
Yeah, well, you see, this is the whole problem. You know, our legislators put loads and loads of laws in the book, but then there's nobody enforcing them. You know, these laws have no teeth. The only time when they enforce it is when they can make money. For example, for speeding tickets.
Yes.
You know, that's when they enforce it, you
yes.
know, but if somebody, you know, like in one case, she embezzled more than $600,000, the state attorney said, oh, that's not in our case, you know, that's civil law because, you know, it's contract law, because that was a contract between the owners and the president of the board, you know, so that's a civil matter, you have to sue them in civil court, it's not a criminal issue. That is what you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what you're getting. That is exactly what you're getting. And that is an absolute crying shame. It is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace for a country that claims to be the strongest, the best, the most, you know, all of this wonderful stuff. This is how the country operates. And that is bad news.
Yeah, well, yeah, just recently somebody asked me, you know, if with all these problems you're complaining about, why you're still in Florida? I said, you want to know the truth? I like the weather.
Yeah. And the government can't do a damn thing about that, can they?
Right, right. You know, not even the legislators can influence that. Thank you very much, you know, because otherwise we would have bad weather here as well.
Well, we've had such rotten weather, a really bad winter up here. But your favorite people are not legislators right now, are they, Jan?
Not necessarily. Some are good, but very few. You know, the problem is, if you know how Tallahassee really works, you realize that it is anything else but a democracy or anything. There are a few people who have the power to decide what goes and what doesn't. You know, and mostly you're only very welcome if you bring a package of letters, you know, of envelopes containing checks or cash. Then they will listen to you. Otherwise, you're the dummy. They don't care, you know. See, we had the case here of our bill. You know, people called the legislator who held up the bill. He finally didn't have his people answer the phones anymore. They put it straight on voicemail, you know, because he didn't want to hear it.
Oh, really?
That's the way things work.
Hmm.
You know, and that's a shame. See, people think that it's a democracy. We have here 120 House representatives and we have 40 senators, and they vote on it, and they vote if the bill is good or not good.
Yes.
Well, that's a bunch of baloney.
Yes.
You know, here is the committee chair. who has the right to set the agenda, and if he doesn't put the bill on the agenda, the bill is dead. Period. End of story. And there's no vote, no nothing. They don't want to bring it to a vote because, remember, in our case where we want a regulatory agency for HOAs, so you don't have to go to court for every simple record request, they don't want to bring it to a vote because they know that there are 2.6 million homes in HOAs here in Florida. That's a lot of voters, right? So they wouldn't vote no against it in public, but if they can kill the bill without a vote, nobody can accuse them of voting against the owners. That's the way it ticks here.
What a bunch of sham artists. Yeah, what a bunch of sham artists. Yeah, they either kill the bill or they, if they do hear the bill, because they don't want to hear any opposition to it. I went all the way down to Richmond a few years ago to testify against the bill, and the chair who was listening to it at the committee level had previously opened everything up. Does anyone want to speak? Does anyone have anything to say? I went up and I said, I want to comment on this bill. I said, you don't need to sign up. You just, raise your hand. He called it to a vote immediately, and they voted on it and passed it because they didn't want to hear from us. And of course, I was not a happy camper, and I'm not going to let these people roll over me. So I jumped up and I said, wait a minute, you did not call for comments. So we went and we commented and we put it on the record, but by that time it had already been passed, because they never, if they don't want to hear from you, if they know that you're not going to be for this bill, they will just slide it in regardless. I mean, they'll play fast and loose with the rules. They'll play fast and loose with everything, and they'll just do what they want.
Wow. See, then you have the judges fighting the legislators because they stepped on each other's toes or whatever, but it ends up at the expense of the people of the state.
Yeah.
You know, that they all think they're untouchable. You know, they think, they're sitting next to God and can make decisions, right or wrong. They have the right to make the decision. Who cares? You know, who cares about the laws? Oh, we make our own. You know, if we don't like what it says there, we just make our own. That's the way they work it.
I want to go back to this story, because there's so much in here that sort of caught my eye. There's 45 counts being prosecuted in this particular case. The case's docket file has 2,775 entries. And it goes on to say, and when a hearing was held March 12th, at least 30 attorneys attended, sitting elbow to elbow on Palm Beach County Court benches. And they were representing, I don't know who, but they're playing the game of delay because they know these are not people of means, Haber said. Their tactic is to litigate until the other side surrenders. So again, this is another game of, we're just going to keep you so tied up and end up with so many junk fees that you're going to run out of money, and we're going to win by default.
Well, see what happens, and that happens as well in homeowners association in small cases.
Yes.
They know that the owners don't have the finances to pay an attorney forever. So what they do, they know they can't win in the courtroom, right? So they prevent the case getting to the courtroom and file motion over motion over motion, so the poor homeowner is forced to have his attorney respond, which costs him $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 each time. Even if the motion is frivolous, you have to answer, you have to pay the cost, and then they file another dumb motion. You know, why is it that some simple cases take 2 to 3 years to even get to the courtroom? In the meanwhile, the owner is broke. And make no mistake, these association attorneys know full well what they're dealing with. They know that the owner is living on more or less a limited income. Even if he's still working, it's limited, because people have limited resources to pay for such things because they still have a life on the other side to run. So they file motion over motion over motion until they finally get to the point where the owner says, I can't pay my attorney anymore, can we settle? And then they have the owner exactly where they want him to have. It's not a matter of justice or the way the law is written. It's a matter of, do you have enough money to enforce the law? If you don't, shut up, sit down, and go away.
And that's freedom.
That's justice in America.
That's freedom, that's justice. You have
yes.
the freedom to buy a house, you have the freedom to live in the house. But
yes.
we
and
have all these
special
interests.
And then you have the freedom to get, sorry, the harsh word, to get screwed out of your house. That's it.
And that's essentially what it boils down to, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, see, remember we talked about the eminent domain bill for condos.
Yeah, we need to go into that in just a second. Here, I just want to make sure there's nothing else here that I want to cover out of this case before I put this aside. One thing that I found interesting is they actually tore into the building to find out how it was constructed. They took out chunks of the ceilings, and he said we became horrified at the extent of water leaks. Durham said, my thought was, how did they find so many people who would do such poor work?
That's not very difficult in Florida.
that is such a shame. That's terrible. That's tacky. That's really, really bad.
Yeah, but that's the way it is. I'm sorry.
I know it is, and I just think it's terrible that people don't have the pride in doing a good job. I mean, they'll just slap together anything. It's good enough, right?
Yeah, well, see, this is where the problem comes into play. You know, we talked about inspectors. You know, when they inspect the property and the way it's built, you know, they have to come a few times during the construction of the home or the building, you know, and they have to look, because you shouldn't be able to continue until the inspector approves the work done so far. You know, why is it that these obvious problems are not being seen by these inspectors who are being paid for doing just that? Because make no mistake, they charge you, as the owner who has this house built, they charge you the cost for these inspections.
Yeah.
You know, that is the problem, and they don't see it.
Yeah. No, I know.
They don't want to see it because they have a good relation with the contractor. You know, they tell them, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, I know you're doing good work. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's a disgrace. It's absolutely disgraceful. It's a shame. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is the amazing president of Cyber Citizens for Justice. Jan has a website and a newsletter that I believe you can subscribe to. So, Jan, you want to give us your website?
Well, the website is real easy, www.ccsj.net. C like Caesar, C like Caesar, Frank, F like Frank, and J like Joe. .net. That's it. And there you find as well a way to subscribe to the newsletter and hopefully help us to get more owner-friendly laws into the book, laws that are actually enforceable.
And is that the answer, Jan? Getting more laws, and I mean, we have plenty of laws, as you said, that are not enforced.
Yeah, right. That's why I said laws that are enforceable, because
and they're all enforceable. It's just that they're never enforced.
Well, yeah. If you have $100,000 in small change in your pocket, you can spare. Yes, you may be able to enforce them.
No. Well, here's the thing. Are we? Does this make sense? To me, this model housing has never made sense. And I know everybody's going to say it's not going away, Shu. They're here to stay. I understand. They're not going to survive very long because they're built, like, terribly.
Right. And you know, it makes no sense. You know, they tell you, oh, you know, but if you're in the homeowners association, they protect your property values, which is the dumbest story I've ever heard.
Well, we just saw how well they protected the property values of the president of the...
Yeah, right. And see, the thing is, I live now in an area where there's no homeowners association, no nothing. And funny enough, there are no discussions here in the neighborhood. The neighborhood looks nice. We're happy. That's good. You know, so what does it do? The only thing I don't have to do is paying maintenance fees to some homeowners associations. And when I have a pothole in the street in front of my property, I call the county and say, could you please fix it? And they will. If I do the same in a homeowners association, they may fix it one day, you know, but then send more or less me the bill, me and my neighbors, because we are paying for it, despite paying the same property taxes than the guy who lives outside the association and who gets free repairs of the pothole in front of his property. You know, that's the big difference.
Well, it's not free repairs because they do pay taxes and they actually get something for their taxes. That's value for something, right? Whereas those of us who live in an HOA don't get absolutely no value for our taxes. We don't get anything.
No, in reality, you get double taxed because you pay to your homeowners association partially for things you already paid for with your property tax.
Absolutely. And the taxes, I don't get anything. I don't have kids in school, so I don't use the library. They don't own the roads. I get nothing for the taxes that I pay them.
Yeah, but if I live outside an HOA in the city area, I get streetlights outside. I get the walkway. I get everything. And in an HOA, I have to pay for it. And my property taxes are being used for other purposes, but not for the purposes I want to pay them for.
Okay, we're going to talk about this eminent domain bill because I think this is something that people need to understand, and it's, as far as I know, it's only in Florida. I'm not sure that anybody else, any other state, has anything this bad. Thank you, Charlie. Chris, you screwed your fellow Floridians while you were in office, right?
Well, more or less, yes, you did. And see, the real issue is that there are legislators who are willing to sponsor these kind of bills despite knowing what harm they will do to their constituents. Because make no mistake, this bill was, we called it immediately after seeing it, the eminent domain bill for condos. I actually talked with the senator who sponsored it, Senator Geller, and he more or less was kind of, you don't understand anything. I'm the legislator, I'm an attorney, and you're just a dummy. You know, I said, thank you very much. I said, yeah, that's why I don't vote for Democrats, you know. So anyway, it happened exactly what we predicted because it was foreseeable because before this bill was initially filed in 2006, when Governor Bush vetoed the bill, and he saw what this bill would be doing to the people. There was a case on Singer Island where, as well, a greedy developer and investor tried to buy, you know, under different names, units, so he had the majority. But the owners finally realized it and put a stop to it, and that when this bill was filed. So finally, in 2007, Senator Geller and House Representative Schwartz co-conspired to file this bill. And it passed, and Charlie Crist signed it into law. Then, as predicted, these investors bought it and kicked out the people without paying them any money. Their families lost their homes. getting peanuts and ending up with still owing money on the mortgage they initially took out to buy the condo.
Okay, tell us what the bill does. In plain language, I mean, you talked about Singer Island and you talked about Geller the Schmuck, who's an attorney and was an absolute bastard, but what does the bill do? What does it allow people to do? How do homeowners lose their units because of this bill?
Okay, it allows investors or developers or whoever wants to do it. In some cases, we even had the people who turned the condo into a rental apartment and vice versa, selling it to the people and then kicking them out. What happens is if one party owns 80% of the units,
okay,
then they have the right to dissolve the condo associations. And then they tell the remaining people, you have now the chance. You are either in an apartment building and you can rent from us, even if it's your home, or we pay you X amount of money and we kick you out.
So wait a minute. 100 units in a building.
Yes.
And I buy, or somebody buys 80%, or somebody owns 80%, or a number of somebody's own 80% and they decide to get together. And I guess that's possible, right? As long as 80%.
They dissolve the condo association.
So they dissolve the condo association. What happens to the other 20%?
More or less, they're being told, we buy you out for what is considered the momentary market value, which is mostly much less than the money they paid for the condo in the first place, and they have to agree. And that's what the law says. It gives them the right, these people, the right to kick these families out of their home, paying them, I call it peanuts.
So, all right, so I buy something for $375,000, like this lady we were talking about.
Yes.
And then you own 80% of them. You can kick me out, and how much are you going to pay me for that?
I tell you, I pay you market value, which is in the moment $180,000, and that's it.
So,
families, hundreds and thousands of families lost their life savings, a home, everything to this bill. There's no argument about it.
And the bill is still on the books? It hasn't been rescinded?
The bill is still on the books. There is a bill running now in the Florida legislature, which hopefully will put an end to this. It is sponsored by Senator Jack LaValla, and hopefully that will put an end to these things, because the bill will say that if it happens, they have to pay them full market value plus what they paid plus everything, so they get more or less the money they paid and everything, so they're not making any financial losses.
So if I paid $375,000, then you have to pay me $375,000, or is you pay me more than that?
No, you pay $375,000.
So you walk away with what you put into it?
More or less, yes.
But
that is better than getting half of it.
That's better than getting half of it, but also if you bought something for $375,000 and put in a lot of sweat equity, and
That will count extra, yes. You more or less, you will get your money, anything you invested, you will get back.
So you will get that back, but...
So, for example, if you pay $375,000 and you put $30,000 in a new kitchen, they would have to give you the $30,000 as well. That's what the bill hopefully will do. We haven't seen the end of it, but that was the general idea.
So that's... Okay, so that's right now in the state legislature and is being...
It's pending, and it has committee hearings, yes.
And when will it go into, if it passes the way it's written right now?
On July 1st, but most likely it will not save the people who are already under siege by these greedy investors.
Someplace, I mean, I had someone come on and talk about what was happening to her, and she said there were, I mean, it was unbelievable the number of people who were losing their houses to this scam. And I can't call it anything else. It is a scam.
No, it is. Yes, it is. There's no argument. But it was made possible by legislators.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the thousands of bills that they have in front of them all the time. And then you talk about, you know, I'm buddies with you. You vote for my bill and I'll vote for your bill. They don't even know what they're voting for half the time.
No. You know, when you go in their offices and talk about them about the bill, which they opposed, and you politely ask, why did you oppose? They come with all kinds of stuff, but not with the facts.
Yeah.
They sometimes don't even know what the bill actually would do. You know, every bill has an analysis, you know, created for the committee hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the committee people, the committee staff will create an analysis which tells you in layman's terms what the bill will do if passes. And they don't read that.
No.
No.
They don't.
They're sitting up there looking like deer in the headlight. And then say, oh, yeah, we vote no. Why? Because the speaker's enforcer already called them last night and said, you better vote yes on the bill.
You had, at some years ago, you had Julio Rabina, who really embraced trying to protect homeowners. You educated him. You explained what was going on. He actually listened to you, and he was a very, very good friend to the homeowners. He understood
yes.
the issues. You don't have.
He still is, even if he's not a legislator anymore.
He's not a legislator. He's a manager, right? He owns his own management company.
Yes. He's partner in a management company. Yes, but he's still advocating for the rights of owners, and very much so.
I understand that, but it's, you know, he can do it in a much smaller environment. He doesn't have quite the voice. Is there someone in the legislature right now in Florida who is willing to step up and say, all right, you know what, this is wrong. What's going on in this country, and especially in Florida, is wrong. And we need to put, you know, we need to put an end to this.
Well, yes, we do. You know, Senator Alan Hayes is very friendly to our cause and tries, but, you know, he runs into obstacles everywhere. And nobody is a one-man wrecking machine. So especially in our legislators where money rules and not the welfare of the constituents, you know, it is difficult. You know, Julio tried, and believe me, he made himself many enemies in the Florida legislature in Tallahassee. You know, he had a speaker named Marco Rubio, you know, who more or less tried to dictate what he says and what he does. You know, now this guy is a senator and maybe even wants to run for higher office. You know, in my opinion, the guy shouldn't be anywhere. You know, but that's just the experience you make when you go to the legislator and you really look behind the scenes. Because most people still think, oh, yeah, you know, when I call the legislator, he's listening to me because he's my legislator. I voted for him. You know, well, you know the old joke about now we're campaigning and now it's daily truth, you know.
Yeah. Failed campaign promises, right?
Yes,
lies
right.
And lies.
Yes.
Read my lips, I'm lying.
Yeah, right. You know, the issue is really that they're more or less destroying the life savings of people, and that is what they don't understand. Because, see, the good weather attracts people to Florida who come from up north. They are mostly not used to this kind of corruption and kickbacks and a system that is more or less adverse to their welfare. Mostly then they're old on top of it and don't really have the will to to fight anymore. They came here to retire and live happily ever after until they die. You know, and then they're facing an environment that is absolutely hostile, you know, especially to their bank accounts, and they don't know what to do. And make no mistake, homeowners are not organized.
No, they're
you know,
not.
I get a day, sometimes 50, 70 complaints.
Yeah.
You know, but they are not really willing to do something about it. I always try, oh, can you give me the name of a good attorney who does it and, you know, pro bono?
For free, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you very much, people. You know, that is not there and that will not happen. You know, that's why I'm always trying to tell them. The way to win the war is to go to Tallahassee and change the law. Because make no mistake, even the best attorney can't fight bad laws. You know, if the laws are against you, the best attorney has no chance to win for you. You know, and that is a problem with the laws we have in the books.
Ian, when you have things like embezzlement, why should you hire an attorney and go after the board member or the manager or whoever it happens to be? Why is it that the state cannot do that? I mean, if you walk into, and I use this example all the time, if you walk into 7-Eleven and you steal a pack of bubble gum, and I have no idea what bubble gum costs.
Yeah, you're sitting in the police car handcuffed in the back seat.
Right.
Serious. Yeah, so, but you can steal $1.4 million. And the judge said, oh, we're so sorry for you because you're so old, you shouldn't go to jail anymore. So what we do with you is, you know, we put you on probation, and then when you die, the association gets your condo, which isn't worth much anyway anymore. You know, that's it. That happened here in Florida. Make no mistake. They arrested the guy with his 40-year-old girlfriend on the airport coming from the Bahamas, spending the association money. And when it came in front of the judge, that is what the judge said. You know, he didn't put him in jail. Oh, you're too old to go to jail. But he wasn't too old to go to the Bahamas with association money with his 40-year-old girlfriend. You know, he wasn't too old for that, but he was too old to go to jail. That's the justice you face here in Florida.
That's unbelievable. And that's a true story.
That's a true story, yes.
That's a true story. What's the answer? Is there an answer? Other than you're still, no matter how many laws people pass, you're still at the mercy of having to hire an attorney and then having to respond to all of that nonsense that the other side's going to throw at you because they know that economically you're not going to be able to keep fighting. You know, you're going to run out of money.
That's exactly the way it is, you know, but don't forget.
That's why I said, what's the answer, Ian? What's the answer?
The answer, there is no answer. As long as our legislators allow this to happen and are not willing to put anything in force that really enforces the laws they're creating, the people don't have the money to pay for the enforcement. You know, and everybody knows that, but you know, we live in a country where you have more attorneys than medical doctors. This is the only country in the world where that is the case.
Oh, really?
Right. So you can imagine they all want to make some money.
Yeah.
You know, so the legislators create laws that make them rich and the owners poor. That's the way it works.
So you've got about 2 minutes to tell us what's on the horizon and what we can expect.
Well, you can expect more weekly news full of bad news. You can expect that so far nothing will change. You can expect that things get even worse because, see, the bad guys realize that they can get away with being bad. You know, and if they know they can get away with it, why shouldn't they do it? In a way, it's human. You know, as a kid, you always try to see how far your parents let you get away with things you're not supposed to do. And, you know, these adults do the same game only for adults, and here it goes for real money and real cash and not Monopoly money.
And you get trips to Bahamas. And
That's it. And it, so as long as the system is not being changed, there will be no changes. Because, you know, putting a Band-Aid here and putting a Band-Aid there doesn't help. And, you know, funny enough, in Tallahassee, they kill the owner-friendly bills, but they let the bad bills pass the bills that will cost owners even more money. That is the way it works. And as long as that is happening, there is no sunshine in Florida.
Jan, thank you so very much for joining us today. It's been fun talking to you. I enjoyed it.
Well, it's always fun talking to you, Sue.
Thanks to all of you for joining us. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.